हरे कृष्ण जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरवनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा रामा राम हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा 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 हरे हरे Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Rama. श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन की। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। Reading from Canto 1, Chapter 3, Text Number 14, Chapter entitled Krishna is the Source of All Incarnations. Rishibhir Yachito Bheje Navamam Parthivam Vapuhu Dugdhemam ओषधीर विप्रास तेनायम स उषत्तमः। ऋषिभिर् याचितो भेजे नवमं पार्थिवं वपुः दुग्धे माम ओषधीर विप्रास तेनायम स उषत्तमः। ऋषिभिर् याचितो भेजे नवमं पार्थिवं वपुः दुग्धे माम औषधीर् विप्रास तेनायम स उषत्तमः। ऋषिभिर् याचितो भेजे नवमं पार्थिवं वपुः दुग्धे माम औषधीर् विप्रास तेनायं स उषत्तमः। तेनायम स उषत्तम। ऋषिभिर् याचितो भेजे Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. O Brahmanas, in the ninth incarnation, the Lord prayed for by sages, accepted the body of a king Prithu, who cultivated the land to yield various produce, and for that reason the earth was beautiful and attractive. Purport. Before the advent of King Prithu, there was a great havoc of maladministration due to the vicious life of the previous king, the father of Maharaj Prithu. The intelligent class of men, namely the sages and the brahmanas, not only prayed for the Lord to come down, but also dethroned the previous king. It is the duty of the king to be pious and thus look after the all-around welfare of the citizens. Whenever there is some negligence on the part of the king in discharging his duty, the intelligence class of men must dethrone him. The intelligent class of men, however, do not occupy the royal throne because they have much more important duties for the welfare of the public. Instead of occupying the royal throne, they prayed for the incarnation of the Lord, and the Lord came as Maharaj Prithu. Real intelligent men or qualified brahmanas never aspire for political posts. Maharaj Prithu excavated many produces from the earth, and thus not only did the citizens become happy to have such a good king, but the complete sight of the earth also became beautiful and attractive. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsa He Krishna Karuna Sindho Tinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So welcome everybody to the morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. This shloka comes in the line of shlokas where all the incarnations are gradually mentioned one by one. So here this shloka talks about the ninth incarnation, which is Maharaj Prithu. It will go till 22 incarnations, till incarnation of Kalki, and then the shloka famous which will come, Ete Chamsha Kalapum Sam. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and He is the source of all these incarnations, and all the these incarnations are Kala, Amsha Kala. And so, this verse talks about a Shakti Avesh Avatar of the Lord. There are many types of avatars, many incarnations as previously mentioned, like Guna Avatar, Leela Avatar, Manvantara Avatar, Yuga Avatar. So, Shaktyavesh Avatar means a living entity is specifically empowered by the Lord to do or achieve a certain purpose. So, King Prithu is a Shaktyavesh Avatar of the Lord in the sense that he is showing how a king should be, how a ruler should be. As Krishna mentions in Bhagavad Gita 10.41, Yad Yad Vibhuti Mat Satvam Srimat Urjitam Evava Tam tam eva vagacchattam mama tejomsha sambhavam. So we will be seeing the life of Maharaj Prithu right from his birth and if time permits till he goes back home back to Godhead. One time I was distributing books in the village area near our farm. It was a book marathon, and because The Back to Godhead magazines are light in weight. I was carrying them and trying to distribute. So I went to one house. I haven't actually stayed in villages any time in life. But I got to learn many things. Also a different accent of Marathi language. So I approached one house. And the normal way I used to do was knock on the door and say, Kuni hai ka? Garat kuni hai ka? Because usually people have gone to work in the fields. So one old lady came out. And then I showed her this Back to Godhead magazine. And told her that this is a book and she can take it. She showed her thumb to me and said, Mi Adani hai, mala vasta gista ka yet nai. So that itself was a door was closed for me because the product I am giving is for reading and she is not able to read. So second try I made as book distributor that tumcha at your house somebody might be able to read, your children will read. She said, Mula gele shahrala. My children have gone to the cities. I am staying alone. Then I said, door is completely closed. No chance of book distribution. So then I was feeling thirsty. I said, Pani hai ka, if I can get. So she brought a glass of water. I just remembered that touching Prabhupada books also gives some sukriti. So I handed one Back to Godhead copy to her. And on that Back to Godhead copy, it was a photograph of Tirupati temple where newly installed deities were there. So I don't know which year was that, but that was the time. So then I thought at least she got some sukriti. Then I tried to ask, okay, tyachyavar kunacha photo ahe? So she squinted and tried to see and then she said, hyo kon hai bara, hyo kisna hai? So then I said, okay, she said the name of Krishna. Yeah. So she asked that who is this, which photograph is this? And then she said, this is Krishna. I said, wow, one more sukriti. While I was drinking water, I asked, who is standing by his side? He kon hai, who is this? And then after few 1 minute or 2 minutes, he Radha hai, she is Radha. I said, done. This is all what I can do. And Sukriti, this is max. Books distribution not going to. So then, by the time I finished, she asked me, what is the cost of this Back to Godhead magazine? I said, 10 rupees, 10 rupees. And she took out 10 rupees and gave it to me. I asked her, you don't know to read. Tumhala vasta gista tar kai yet ne? Tar kai ne photo bagnar. I'll see the photos. So these books of Srila Prabhupada are so powerful and I'm happy that I got, I hardly, to frankly admit, read books. But I got the opportunity to read fourth canto, almost 10 chapters in past 3 days, the time which I was given. I was about Prithu Maharaj. So let's begin. So we'll start at Dhruv Maharaj. When he went to back home, back to Godhead, he gave his kingdom to his elder son Utkal. But Utkal, as he was since his childhood, he was not interested in the kingdom. He was already transcendental, and people used to think that he is a mad person. Anyway, so then his younger brother Vatsara was given the kingdom. And in his line of descendants, Maharaj Anga, a great devotee of the Lord, came. And this Maharaj Anga was at one time performing Ashwamedh Yajna, as kings usually used to do. And after some time, when the Brahmanas offered the oblations, they saw that no demigods came. Previously, demigods used to come in Yajna to accept the offerings. And then it was inquired why it is not happening. The Brahmana said that the ingredients collected by you are pure. And the mantras we have chanted are also correct. We have that system in place. But still we are not able to ascertain why the demigods have not yet come. And then the head priest spoke to Anga Maharaj that in this lifetime, we can understand that you have not even committed one sinful activity even in your mind. But due to sin of some previous lifetime, you do not have a son. And that's why the demigods are not coming. So then Maharaj Anga requested them to do some yajna. And they did a yajna. A person came from the fire with a golden pot containing kheer, sweet rice, which was for a son, and which he gave to his wife Sunita, who was, that Sunita was daughter of Mrityu personified, of death. So she was coming from that kind of, we'll see further, background. And when he had a son, Maharaj Anga had a son, his name was Vena, and he was extremely cruel. Even as a child, he used to go to the forest and kill deers unnecessarily. Even while playing with his kids, he used to kill those kids. He was so merciless. And as he grew up, he started claiming that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Brahmanas knew that, and Maharaj Anga, seeing all these activities of his son, he was so frustrated that he left home and went to the forest. Prabhupada writes in purport that sometimes Krishna arranges family members in such a way that a person has to get serious in spiritual life. I was thinking even in our ashram, sometimes we are sitting and honoring some prasad. Somebody comes, kya kha rahe? Kyun kha rahe? Abhi kyun kha rahe? Pankhe ke niche baith ke kyun kha rahe? Why you are sitting? Why you are smiling and eating? Why you are so serious while eating? And these, I said, am I an inquiry counter or something? And so the next time they come, they don't ask questions. They just make So that is even more hurtful than the questions they ask. And there are a third variety of family members who just come and say, oh, Gopinath is so merciful. I was just thinking that somebody there should be some prasad and it's there, and they don't even ask, they just take it. So this is the third category. So this ultimately makes us more devotee. They say that ultimately you came to the ashram, we'll make you a pure devotee. We'll see to it. So then Prabhupada writes in the purport that people were asking how Maharaj Anga, who is such a pious king, he had a son like Vena. How it's possible? So Prabhupada explains that things equal to the same thing are equal in themselves. For example, he says, son takes the qualities of mother and daughter takes the qualities of father. So Vena took the qualities of mother and mother took the qualities of her father, Mrityu. So that way Vena took the qualities of Mrityu, and that's how he was so much merciless. And so naturally, even the rogues and the thieves were afraid of him. He was so cruel. They hid in, just like insects go in their holes. But then the sages concluded that this person is totally stopping religious activities. So they were angry inside. They tried to give him one chance. They approached him, all of them, one day and said that you should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the king's duty is to serve Krishna. And that way they were explaining. And then Vena, he heard all that, and then he said the names of all the demigods: Vishnur, Virincho, Girisha, Indro, Vayur, Yama, Ravi, Parajanyo, Dhanadaha, Dhanadaha means Kuver, Soma, Kshiti means Earth, Agnir, Apamapati means Varuna, Ete cha anya vibhuta prabhava vara sapaya dehe bhavanti nirpate. All these demigods are in the body of the king, and they are parts and parcels of the king. He said that. So your loyalty to those demigods is like a woman who is leaving her husband and going to the paramours. Hearing this, that was the, as they say, last straw which broke the camel's back. the sages, Prabhupada translate as they, with high sounding words or humkar, they didn't use any weapons. They didn't burn him, they just killed him. He fell dead. King Vena fell dead. And Sunita, who was the mother of King Vena, she was naturally affectionate to her son. She stored his body, first mummification, and then it was seen that in the kingdom, the rogues naturally rose up, and one day the Brahmanas took bath in the river and they were chanting Gayatri and they saw a dust storm. And they understood that the citizens are being troubled by these rogues and thieves and that way. So then they decided to, that this is also worse. So they decided to have a process by which they can have the king. So they churned the thighs of Vena. And a person came out whose limbs were very short, hands and legs were short. He had a big belly. He had big jaw. His complexion was dark like a crow. His nose was flat. His eyes were red. And his hairs were copper colored. And he came out and he was humble and he said, "Who am I and what I should do?" The sages said, "Keep quiet. Nishidha. Sit down." Because they knew that this is the, all the sins of Vena are coming out. And then they told him that you go to the forests and mountains because you as a class, Nishadha, will be plunderers, rogues, and they will be troubling the people. So you can go there. So he was humble and he went away. And then they churned the arms of Vena Maharaj. And when they churned them, a couple came out. Not just one, two. King Prithu and Archi. So it is said, as soon as they appeared, the Brahmanas highly praised and glorified King Prithu. Gandharvas chanted the glories. Siddhas showered flowers, and beautiful women in heavens, they danced in ecstasy. Conch shells, bugles, drums, kettle drums sounded in the outer space. And all the great sages, personalities, demigods from all over the universe came there to glorify. Lord Brahma also came. And Brahmaji saw the lines on the palms of Prithu Maharaj. They resembled exactly like Supreme Personality of Godhead. And his soles of his feet were having lotuses. So they understood that this is a partial representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And various demigods offered various gifts. Vayu offered two chamars. Dharma offered a flower garland. Indra, we should note this because Indra will come soon in this pastime. Indra offered a valuable helmet. Yamraj offered a scepter, a staff by which to rule the world. Brahma gave protective garments made up of knowledge. Bharti or Saraswati gave transcendental necklace. Vishnu gave a Sudarshan disc. Goddess of Fortune gave imperishable opulences. Shiva gave a sword studded with various moons. And his wife, Goddess Durga, gave a shield studded with moons. The moon god gave horses of nectar. Vishwakarma gave a beautiful chariot. Agni gave a bow made up of horns of goats and cows. Sun god gave him arrows as brilliant as the sunshine. And the predominating deity of Bhurloka gave him slippers full of mystic power. And demigods gave flowers and arts to perform dramas and sing songs. Like this, many, many big lists is there. Many lists will come soon. Basically, they glorified Prithu Maharaj a lot. And there were professional reciters, Suta, Magadha, Vandi. And Prithu Maharaj, he said that I have, as of now, not done anything for which you can glorify me. So please don't do that. But then all the sages, they say, please don't stop us. We know that you are the partial representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they continued that just as the sun takes the water for 8 months and then gives it in the form of clouds, you will take taxes from the citizens and you will shower them with all the facilities. You will be merciful to the needy. You will be servant of the Vaishnavas. You will love the sadhus. You will serve the old. You will be a punisher to the criminals. You will make earth level. They were also predicting what Prithu Maharaj will do. and cruel people will be afraid of you, and you will be performing 100 Ashwamedh Yajnas, and then Indra will come and steal, and 4 Kumaras will come to meet you, and then you will go back home, back to Godhead. That's how they said. So, this story is being narrated by Maitreya to Vidura. So, Vidura asks these few questions, that why did earth take the form of a cow? And then, how did Prithu milk her for all the produces? These are the questions which will be answered. And then, he said, I wish to hear more and more. So, Maitreya continued that after the coronation of Prithu Maharaj took place, the citizens, they came to Prithu Maharaj and they said that we are very hungry. We have no food grains to eat. The fire in our stomachs is burning as if the tree is burning, the fire is burning the tree from inside. And so Prithu Maharaj, he understood the situation, came to a conclusion, took his bows and arrows and pointed them at the earth. And as soon as he pointed them at the earth took the form of a cow. Now, it is explained why she took the form of a cow. Because she knew that he is a devotee of the Lord and he will not harm a cow. And she started running all over the universe. Prithu Maharaj followed her. He didn't shoot the arrow but kept following her everywhere. And ultimately, she turned back to him and said, I am a woman. Why do you want to kill me? And Prithu Maharaj said, that as a demigod, you come to take all the oblations of the sacrifices. Brahmaji gave you so many powers to serve the citizens. And you are withholding all the grains and valuables inside you. So I am going to cut you to pieces today. Even though you are a woman, in Shastras it is said that if one is not doing the duty, you will need to be punished. Then the earth said, I am like a strong boat. And your whole kingdom is on me. If you cut me to pieces, your kingdom will drown in the ocean. Prithu Maharaj said, I will maintain everything by my own mystic powers, but I am going to punish you. And he became as angry as Lord Shiva, who is going to destroy the whole universe. And the earth began to tremble. And she said that, please listen to me. The reason is that non-devotees are using all the grains. So I have hidden them. So, then you make a calf and then I'll give all the valuables. First, you'll have to level my surface. There, it was a totally havoc situation because there were many mountains and no crops were there because there were no flat plains. So, then there's a big list of how the demigods, they made a golden pot and there was Soma. Mention what all was brought forth from the earth. So, Gandharvas brought music and art. And Siddhas got art of flying. Kim Purushas have mystic power of disappearing at will. Like that. Snakes took poison. The cows took grass. And birds took insects and fruits. And the mountains took minerals. Like this, the earth was done. And then Prithu Maharaj was very satisfied with earth. And then he accepted her as daughter. And he leveled her surface. Then once upon a time, he started performing Ashwamedh Yajnas, Prithu Maharaj. So, he came till 99th sacrifice. And on the 100th one, who got disturbed? Indra, as usual. Why? Because he fears that anybody who completes 100 will take his post. And he'll be removed. He'll be forced to resign. So then, Indra came in the form of a sannyasi. And he took various forms. And Atri Muni, he mentioned that Indra has stolen the horse of sacrifice. It is said, he took the form of Amuktam Iva Pakhandam. He took that sannyasi form with a knotted hair on his head and smeared ashes all over his body. And the shloka mentions, Jatilam Bhasma Chandam. He became like a sadhu. So, Vijitashva, one of the sons of Prithu Maharaj, he went after Indra, and he saw that Indra is dressed in the form of a sadhu, so he didn't attack. But Atri Muni said that he's a bogus, he's a pakhandam. So Vijitashva got the name because he got the ashwa, the horse from Indra. So then Indra, immediately realizing that this son of Prithu Maharaj is very powerful, he just disappeared from the spot. He left the horse and he gave up his dress. But then again, the horse was tied by golden chains to a wooden staff, and the discontinued yagya. Indra again created a darkness in the place and took the horse away. Because he is a demigod, he has those powers. So then again Atri Muni pointed to Vijitashva that, look, where is the horse? Indra has taken. Indra again took another form in which he took a staff on which there is a skull on the top. And so it meant Kapala Khatvanga Dharam. He had skulls, and so then again Vijitashva thought that this is a sadhu. So he left. Atri Muni said he is not a sadhu. So like this, Indra kept on taking various forms of sadhus, and Prabhupada mentions that various upper sampradayas have started. I remember a few years back, I was distributing books at Vashi station, and there was this table and there was a Western devotee with me and a kind of sadhu with knotted hair and all this jatilam, basmas, channam, with all the ashes. He came to the table and he asked this. He picked up a Krishna book and said, what is the price of this? I mentioned the price, I think 100 rupees or 120 something. It was many years back. As soon as he heard the price, he just shouted, Baba se paise mangta hai. Baba se. So that sound was reverberating in that whole building. Ye dekh. And he opened his, he was wearing something. He opened and there was nothing. He was wearing. So I looked away. As soon as I looked away, Baba. So the Western devotee said that this Baba is already gone. He took your book and he is walking away. So I was a new, as they say, naya naya mulla jada jor se hi chillata hai. So I thought, how can he take Prabhupada's book like me by distracting me like this? He made me look away, and then I went after him and I said, book, Baba se, I need the book. So then he said, okay, take the book. So then he put the book like this in air, like this. He held it like this, take the book. So I said, nee, put your hand, cup your hands down. He made me hold. I thought he is going to drop the book in my hand. So then I said, give. I don't know what he did exactly. Till now I have not realized. Maybe he pressed some lemon or something, or some water, some tilak bottle, some water came in my hands. So I was bewildered, means naturally I looked down. So as I looked down, he again turned back and started walking. Maybe what I understand the psychology was that again he showed some chamatkar. First chamatkar that, and this second. So finally I'll be bewildered. So then I said, I don't want this water. I want the book. So then he understood that I am not going to stop. So he took the book, hit on my head and said, Jindagi bhar taklu rehne wala hai. Means you will stay bald throughout your life. I don't know. I am still wondering whether it was a benediction or a curse, or whether it actually works. Anyway, so this is, and then, because it also mentions Indra took one of the form as Nagna Rakta Patadishu. He went naked and wore very, very red clothes. So many sampradayas started this way by Indra. And then Prithu Maharaj understood that Indra is creating so many upper sampradayas, and he has come to create dharma. How can he tolerate a dharma? So he took his arrows. His personality is shown, like if you read the full, he's like a hero. Prithu Maharaj is shown as a hero. Every time he's just, maru kya, he's ready. So he immediately took the
took the arrows, and so the Brahmanas immediately told Prithu Maharaj that you cannot kill, because only sacrificial animals are supposed to be killed, and you are the yajman. So we will kill by our mantras. And so Prithu Maharaj said, okay, do it. Chant those mantras by which Indra will come to the fire. And they started chanting. And actually, as soon as they were going to put the final oblation, Brahmaji appeared and said, stop. It is not your duty to kill Indra. Indra was going to drop in the fire. Indra is the assistant of Supreme Personality of Godhead. And you are trying to please the demigods who are part and parcel of Indra. So, and if you keep on continuing this yajna, Indra will keep on taking more and more dresses, and there will be adharma. So let there be only 99 sacrifices and stop. And then Prithu Maharaj agreed. He was humble. He was like Lord Ramchandra. He was perfect in every action. When needed, humble. When needed, angry. So then Vishnu appeared in his final yajna, 99th yajna, and he came with Indra. And Indra was very ashamed. He was looking down, and Vishnu explained that you should see in all living beings, you should see me. It is just like to the big brother, always the parents keep telling you do this, and they keep excusing the one who is not so exalted. So then Indra tried to fall down at the feet of Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj immediately forgave him. Immediately, he didn't let him fall at his feet. He embraced him and gave up all envy for him, and that he had tried to steal the horse of sacrifice. And then Vishnu, he said, I am very much captivated by your qualities. You should ask for some benediction from me. So Prithu, being a devotee, his throat was choked. His eyes were full of tears. It is said he could not see Vishnu properly. He could not speak properly. And he just stood there with folded hands. And then just to reciprocate, Vishnu actually never touches the ground. But just to be one with him, he touched the ground, and just because it is said he put his hand on Garuda to balance, because he was not accustomed to standing on ground. So Prithu Maharaj, finally, he said that prayers, that you give me 1 million years so that I can hear your glories. And then he was so deep in emotion, he said, I need the opportunity to massage your lotus feet. And I know that Lakshmi will be envious of me because I am taking her service. But I also know that you are merciful to the surrendered soul. You will not side with Lakshmi. You will side with me, and you will let me serve your lotus feet. So that way, finally, Prithu Maharaj finished this episode, and he returned to the city. He was doing the yajna outside. So citizens, they had very beautifully decorated the city to receive him. It was decorated with pearls, flower garlands, beautiful cloth, golden gates. Very rich fragrance was there. Fragrant water was sprinkled all over the streets, which was distilled from sandalwood and aguru herbs. And there were decorations of unbroken fruits, wetted grains, minerals, lamps, pillars of banana trees and betel nut trees, conch shell, kettle drums. Priests sounded mantras, and all the professional reciters glorified. This is the normal thing. So then, Prithu did not become proud. Prabhupada writes in the purport that a tree laden with fruits bows down. He always felt that it is his duty as a king that he is serving the citizens. And then, as this episode ends, Vidura says to Maitreya that I wish to hear more about the life of Prithu Maharaj. What did he do? So Maitreya describes the physical bodily features of Prithu Maharaj. His body was tall and sturdy. His complexion was fair. His arms were full and broad. His eyes were as bright as the rising sun. His nose was straight. His face was beautiful. His personality was grave. His teeth were set beautifully. His chest was very broad. His waist was thick. His abdomen had three wrinkled lines. And his navel was coiled and deep. And his thighs were of golden hue. His instep is also mentioned. Instep was arched. That means he was not flat-footed. And then he had black slick hair on his head, which were fine and curly, and his neck had lines like conch shell. Such is the beautiful personality of Prithu Maharaj. So when the citizens, they glorified Prithu Maharaj, Prithu glanced on them as if his eyes were like stars wetted with dewdrops. And then Gaur Krishna Maharaj, he says, he gave Desh ke naam Sandesh. And this Sandesh should be read in all the parliament houses and wherever the governments are. Of course, these chapters are very, very long. It's like 50 shlokas and full of depth. I am just recounting a few of this. So Prithu Maharaj told them, good fortune to all of you. And I have been appointed as a king of the Lord, by the Lord, king by the Lord. And all of you, please follow the Varnashram duties. And the taxes which I take is there for to serve you. Otherwise, if I just take taxes, it is like taking all the sinful activities from the citizens. And then he glorified devotional service. He said that you should serve the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas and feed them foodstuffs made with ghee. And Gaur Krishna Maharaj says in Hindi, ghee mein tarahua halwa aur malpua khilaiye. Ghee mein tara hua halwa aur malpua Vaishnavo ko khilai. Because in the shloka it mentions that Vishnu, he likes it more that it goes into the mouth of the Vaishnava. Of course, not us, but pure devotees who are Vaishnavas. Why it is mentioned? Because Vaishnavas have three qualities. They have Shila Dhanam. They have very good behavior. They are Kritagyam. They are having a lot of gratitude. And with Vridhrashayam, they take shelter of the learned. Prabhupada in the purport to Vridhashraya, this word he explains that there are two types of old men. One is Vayovriddha and one is Jnanavriddha. And one who is just old is not a Vriddha. Old by age is actually not advanced. Only a person who has Jnana or knowledge, Vriddha, he is actually Vriddha. And that knowledgeable person is worthy of taking shelter of. So that is what Vaishnavas are doing. They are taking shelter of the superiors. And that way. I also remember one time I had gone to one house for accepting this Shraddha, this thing. So I had not read this fourth canto. And so the family, the father of the family, he told me to come to the bathroom. And then he said, I said, why, I'm fine. He said, no, I need to put water on your feet. So then I felt so ashamed. There was a bucket filled with water and a mug. So I said, I will myself put. I took the mug and put it on my feet. So then he said, no, I have to put. Actually, at that time, I didn't even realize why this is going on. But this is there in culture of India. And I'll tell you the fun part after this, that they respect, they know all this. I, being a city born, I don't know much. So then they made us sit, there were a few of us, sit in to honor the prasad. I was hungry, so I immediately started eating, and they said that the crow has not eaten. they had put some puri and something on the window. I said, you consider me as the crow. And so then the son who was a devotee, he told me, don't worry. I was actually ashamed that I did such a thing that I could not even wait. And I just started eating as soon as it was there. So then he said, no problem. Aap lete rahiye. So then, after hearing the speech of Prithu Maharaj, the citizens glorified Prithu Maharaj also. And then, four effulgent personalities came. They were shining like the sun. Siddheshwara, they were full of mystic potencies. And they were who? They were the four Kumaras. So four Kumaras came, and as soon as Prithu Maharaj saw them, he understood that these are the four Kumaras, and I'll try to speed it up. And he got up with his associates immediately, as if as the senses get attracted to the modes of material nature, he got attracted to them. And he started saying that we are fortunate householders, and it is rare that such sages come to us. And he also mentioned that even if one is a poor householder, if some sadhu has come and accepts water at his house, if he sits on the mat, and if he eats some prasad, adhana apite dhana, means even if he is poor, he is the most fortunate. And then shloka comes that on the other hand, if there are big houses, they are like holes of snakes, vayalam druma eva, if the sadhu has not gone there. So this is of course about sadhus who are actually pure devotees, because it is mentioned in the Shastra that sadhus even purify the holy places, tirthi kurvanti tirthani, that is their feet, what to speak of homes. And that's how Prithu Maharaj glorifies the four Kumaras. The four Kumaras then start instructing him, specifically Sanat Kumar starts instructing him that in short, glory, hearing the glories of the Lord is the essence. So many verses they are saying, Punya Shava Katha Punya Cha Vina Harer Guna Piyush Panat. Like this, they instructed Prithu Maharaj how to execute Bhakti Yoga and perfect the life. Many shlokas like this. And then Prithu Maharaj, he was very happy to have the association of sadhus, extremely happy. And then he said, what can I offer you? Everything is yours. Whatever is there is belongs to you. And like this. So then it is explained again the qualities of Prithu Maharaj, a big list, that he was pleasing like the moon, powerful like the sun, unconquerable like fire, fixed in purpose like Meru. He was affectionate like Manu, powerful like Brahma, knowledgeable like Brihaspati. Like this, the kingdom of Prithu Maharaj prospered. And that's how the whole he ruled. And finally, Prithu Maharaj, at one point of a time, he gave charge of his kingdom to his sons and he left for forest. And Prabhupada explains that as soon as one takes a vow to live in the forest, he should be ready to eat all simply roots, tree trunks, fruits, dried leaves, water, whatever nature provides. That should be his goal. And then it is Prabhupada also goes on to write in the same big purport. He says that forest is in the mode of goodness, the cities are in the mode of passion, the brothels and the bar drinking houses are in the mode of ignorance, and the temple is in the mode of Vaikuntha. And Prabhupada mentions many people go to Vrindavan. They try to imitate Rupa Goswami, who gave up everything, who gave up all the facilities. But finally they fall down to material habits of victims of illicit sense gratification, gambling and intoxication. So Prabhupada mentions that it is better to follow in the footsteps of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, accept prasad in the temple, follow regulative principles, chant 16 rounds. That will, in that way, one's spiritual life will not be disturbed. So Prithu Maharaj, he finally perfected his life, and because his wife had followed back with him, Archi, Queen Archi. She realized, she lamented a little, it is said, kinchit, that her husband has left the body. But then she, Prabhupada writes in the purport, she was a great wife of a great king. So then she understood she has duties to perform. She made a pyre on top of the hill. And then she took bath, performed all the funeral activities, and then ascended the fire. And all the demigoddesses on the top of Mandara mountain, they praised, here is the queen who is following back home, back to God and her husband, and they showered flowers. And then there is a Phala Shruti. It is said that any person who hears this life story of Prithu Maharaj, any Brahmana who hears this becomes most learned. Kshatriya becomes the leader of the world. Vaishya becomes master of other Vaishyas and cows. Shudra becomes the best devotee. Person with no reputation becomes famous. A fool becomes learned. And one gains all auspiciousness like this. And Maitreya finally said, of course, this is a little karmakand kind of thing. He said, "My dear Vidura, as far as possible, I have spoken the narrations of Prithu Maharaj. And whoever takes advantages of these benefits also goes back to Godhead like Prithu Maharaj." Prithu Maharaj performed so many austerities. We can just hear them and go back to God. Hare Krishna. I tried to cover all 10 chapters. There are 10 chapters. Hare Krishna. I hope no questions. This was a kind of katha. Hare Krishna. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Hare Krishna.